sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart. Then I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we start. I open up my heart. I'm caught up in your presence.
It's their, it's Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Nate, and I just want to welcome you to church this morning, and welcome to December, our first Sunday in December of 2020. That means this is the last month of this year, and that's great news for some people. Yes, we get to celebrate, and maybe New Year's Eve, New Year's Day will have an extra special significance for a lot of people this year. Well, I want to talk about something that's coming up this Friday evening. I hope you've heard about it, and I really hope that you've saved your seat for it. But if you haven't yet, this Christmas special is where you're going to hear all about the needed renovations here at this Culpeper campus and how we're planning to use the maximized space that we'll get from this. Friday night, there's going to be moments of fun, moments of laughter, of inspiration, and dessert, which, I mean, I love dessert. If I could skip dinner and go straight dessert, I would be all for that, but Mom taught me differently. Most importantly on that night, this church is going to commit together on the funding of this project, and so it's a big deal. It's a big deal, and the elders are asking that we all take time this week to pray about that, so please, please do that. Now, if you haven't saved your seat for Friday night, you can do so very easily using our Church Center app, or you can go to the events page on our website and find the Christmas special and register for that. Please do that because space is limited and we want to be able to accommodate everyone that wants to be there that night. And last Sunday, you heard a lot about the pie in the face from my man Nick over there. Yeah, now I didn't pay him to push the vote towards Tara, although that was a brilliant idea in hindsight that I should have thought about, but I saved money and got the same end result anyway. Today's the last Sunday that you can vote for this. This is just a fun way we're kicking off the fundraising for the renovations here. It's $1 per vote. You get to vote, and one of these staff members are going to get a pie in the face Friday night. So if you're here Friday night, you're going to get to see that, witness that in person. Of course, we'll be live streaming that part of the Fixer Upper Christmas special through our website only, so don't go to Facebook or YouTube trying to find it. Go to our website and click on our live and find us through that, okay? And you'll be able to watch most of the evening immediately after the dessert reception part ends. And so Friday night, you'll be able to vote on who gets to deliver said pie to the lucky person's face. So again, today's the last day that you get to vote. So now I'd like to read you a quote from author Steve Maraboli. Hard switch over to this change in topic here. He says in his book, Unapologetically You, Reflections on Life and Human Experience, he says, want to keep Christ in Christmas? Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Forgive the guilty. Welcome the unwanted. Care for the ill. Love your enemies. And do unto others as you would have done unto you. Those are a few thought-provoking lines, aren't they? For years, people have talked about the war on Christmas, and usually this has to do with businesses or individuals who eliminate Christian imagery from the holiday and or refuse to say Merry Christmas. While I think it's important to remember Jesus' birth this time of year, Maraboli's point can't be forgotten either. It's so easy to get caught up in the idea of Christmas that we forget what Christmas represents, that it's God's love in the form of a humble birth of Jesus. It's his love on display in that way. And so today, when you give, there's three easy ways to do that. Not only does your gift go to keep the lights on here, but it goes to some pretty great outreach ministries as well. One of them is COVID Care, and it launched in the spring in order to help people in this church and in this community should they have COVID-related needs. Well, this past week, you helped a family with a financial need in a very big way. That's all I can say about that, but I want you to know how special that is, that we as a church family were able to do that for this family. We believe that our generosity is going to help others see the joy and peace that comes through the Christmas story. Well, you guys have been awesome, incredible, attentive, but it's time to worship. It's time to stand and proclaim that the joy has come to the world because the Lord has come. So let's do that, church.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven nature's zoo. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Hear the joy.
Christmas time, everybody. I was getting there, right?
As you can tell, that was a new song, and I didn't much care for it when I first heard it. And Tina had to tell me, it's about Israel. I was like, what the world, a woman with a drought and a baby crying? Anyway, but there are words in there, and I love words to songs. They really speak to my heart. And I wasn't here last week when we testified, so I'm going to testify today, so just bear with me. The words of that song is, the world waits for a miracle. Some of us are waiting for a miracle. Some of us have hearts that long for a little bit of hope, just a little. We're struggling. We pray for peace, peace in our lives, peace on the earth, peace in our church, peace in our family. We call out from a sea of hurt. I know I'm not the only one in here that's hurting. And I know you're not the only one that's hurting. But I'm here to glorify God, and I don't even know what I'm supposed to say, but I'm here to kick Satan in the teeth.
That's right.
And I know what it's like to be shattered. And there's a song by Danny Gokey that says, shattered like I've never been before. That was me. 3 years ago and 2 years ago was the roughest years of my life. I'm not going to go into details, but my marriage was in trouble. And I tried to join the praise team when it all broke. And I was like, I can't be on the praise team now. And then God told me, you need to be there for me. So I was here for him, not for y'all. My soul needed it. My heart needed it. And there's no doubt in my mind that you're here today because God wants to meet you. It's not here for the person sitting beside you. It's because God has a plan. And I know when you're hurting, when you're broken, God can heal. God can restore. I know he can. And the enemy wants to destroy, and he will do anything he can, anything he can to stop you. To stop your marriage from thriving, to stop your family from growing in God. He tries to do it, and sometimes we let him. Oh. Anyway, our marriage was broken, but today, this very time, 1 year ago, we renewed our vows. God did a complete change in our lives, and God is able. He is able, and I know the struggles are real. Believe me, I've been there. 2 years I sat in them. But this next song is called Faithful Now, and there are words in there that I'm not going to even read them to you, but you're going to read them, and you're going to sing them. I'm not forcing you to do nothing, but anyway, I've taken way too much time, but anyway, Faithful Now. It's my testimony.
I'm holding on to faith, 'cause I know you made a way, and I don't always understand, and I don't always get to see. But I will believe in it, I will believe it, 'cause you made mountains move, you made giants fall, you use songs of praise to shake prison walls. I will speak to my fear, I will preach to my doubt, 'cause you were faithful then, you'll be faithful. Thank you.
Let's declare that this day. Amen. Thank you, Joyce, for sharing that with us, Lord. And I know that she's not the only one that feels that way. Amen. That we need that. We need that truth to be spoken into our lives. You know, this world is preaching fear into us. It is preaching this message of hopelessness, God, of helplessness. Lord, and we don't have that, not here, no, not with you. We have hope. We have help. We have your word to stand on. Lord, you say, do not fear. Because you will not leave us, and you will not forsake us. Amen. We need to hold on to that truth, Lord. We need to hold on to that with all we have, because right now the world wants to tell us otherwise. So we're going to sing this as a declaration again. We're going to sing that chorus again as a declaration because it's true. Amen.
You make mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs of praise to shake prison walls. I will speak to my You were faithful then. You'll be faithful now.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Came to see Mary. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey. Oh, yeah, a camel. She said, this donkey's fast. Well, they tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
But then he said, the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angel said, a new baby is getting born.
The angel were singing.
Glorious. Then the wise men heard about it,
and then a star appeared.
Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
It's a good laugh, right? We can appreciate a good laugh these days. Honestly, other than the Frankenstein monster and Jordans, it wasn't too bad of a telling. Somebody's going to go to lunch today and say, this donkey fast. There's just one problem with that telling. See, those kids told the story exactly the way we like to tell it. We like for the Christmas story to be comfortable. We like that warm, fuzzy feeling. It is the most wonderful time of year, after all. So as long as the little baby's tucked into a bed of straw, as long as he's away in a manger, no crying you made, as long as the star shines down on the new parents, as long as they're illuminated on our front yards at night, we're doing our Christian duty and all as well. After all, hark, the herald angels are singing, giving glory to the newborn king. There's peace on earth. Mercy is mild. I don't know what that means, and I don't know if I want a mild mercy. That's what they said. God and sinners were reconciled. Great, right? Don't know me, I'm Josh, director of discipleship, and don't know me, I tend to get cynical this time of year. And so Mark wants me to start Christmas. I've got nothing against Christmas. I love the holiday. I love the familiar worship songs that celebrate the momentous occasion. I love what Jesus' arrival means for us. I love it's a story of overcoming. I love the circumstances of his birth, showing that God is all about using the unexpected underdogs. But I don't love what culture has done to the holiday. I don't love the commercialization, obviously. But I also don't like that we've taken this story and turned into a romanticized version with this perfect little doe-eyed family. We put the nativity scene on cards. We put it on our mantle. We put it on our front yard. We pat ourselves on the back and say, yeah, I kept Christ in Christmas. And I'm including myself in this. I've got the projector with the nativity scene in the front yard. Me too. Don't get me wrong, it's a good thing. I just wonder, along the way, have we done a disservice to the truth? Because you see, all was not merry and bright that night. There was not peace on earth, at least not the way we like to think about it. And for God and sinners to be reconciled, it had to get ugly. And I'm not just talking about a crucifixion. For those that were in the Christmas story, living it in the moment, not like Joyce, it might have felt dreadful. At the very least, it was disappointing. So let's take a look at a familiar passage with a new lens. I want to go look at Luke's telling. We'll pick up halfway through verse 26. The story starts, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, descendant of King David. And so Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Happy. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her. You found favor with God. You will conceive, you'll give birth to a son, you'll name him Jesus. He will be very great, he'll be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Keep going. Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. So the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, called Son of God. Had a couple of verses. Verse 38, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. The angel left her. There's familiar lines in there. We've heard this many times, and we like those lines. You have found favor with God. He will be great. He'll be called Son of God, Son of the Most High. But when it comes to Christmas, we like to blow by verse 29. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Well, verse 34, it's a little more familiar to us, but I think we take for granted the weight when Mary asks, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Mary's a teenager, probably dreaming of her future. She was engaged to Joseph, who was known but to be a good man according to the scriptures. He was a carpenter. He was established in his trade. By all accounts, one could assume that Mary's future was looking relatively bright. Until it got a whole other kind of bright. Talking like the bright light of an angel showing up on the scene and bursting her dream bubble. Because let me emphasize again that Mary was confused and disturbed when this angel showed up. So let me offer you a different way to read verse 34. This is according to the less well-known Josh paraphrase translation. Maybe Mary was thinking something along the lines of, first off, I don't think it's possible for me to have a child. I mean, I may be young. I'm not dumb. I know how these things work and what needs to happen. It hadn't happened. And secondly, what are you trying to do to me? How can I be favored by God when you're giving me a death sentence? You're an angel. You know the law of Moses. If I have this baby, when you say I'm going to have this baby, it's going to look like I was unfaithful to Joseph, my fiancé. He and the people are going to have every right to have me stoned to death, but I'm innocent on that charge. So understand that the news the angel brought to Mary that night, it carried a whole lot more weight than Mary going, oh, wow, God's going to do a miracle in me. So for her to say in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, may everything you said about me come true, taking a whole lot more faith on Mary's part than we realize. There's a whole lot more at stake than a few raised eyebrows for her. The potential's there for Mary to be far beyond just disappointed by the way her life is getting ready to play out. She could have been, and probably by all worldly standards, should have been devastated, destroyed by this change in plans. And let's not forget about poor Joseph here. Chapter 1 in Matthew's gospel gives us his perspective on this change in plans. So let's take a look at his perspective. Verse 18 talks about Mary. This is how Jesus the Messiah is born. Mother Mary engaged to be married to Joseph. Okay, we got that from Luke. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a good man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Nice when you get confirmation from the angel. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. You will have a son. You are to name him Jesus. He will save people from their sins. So when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. Joseph named him Jesus. We overlook Joseph in the story sometimes of what he was having to process. You want to talk about disappointment? You want to talk about faith? Trust God through that disappointment? I think even the way we translate these verses take away from what was transpiring. When verse 19 says that Joseph did not want to disgrace her, nice calm word, what Matthew is really trying to relay is that Joseph didn't want to ruin the rest of her life. Because had he made a big deal out of this, had he not tried to end the engagement quickly and quietly, we already said the law allowed for her to be stoned. But let's say that didn't happen. Even if that doesn't happen culturally, so to speak, Mary is scorned with the scarlet A. And she's never going to be considered marriage material again. She's probably going to be shunned by her peers, and most likely she's going to live out the rest of her life alone and poor. So disgraced is a happy little word for ruining the rest of her life. Verse 20, when the angel tells Joseph not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, the word afraid, understand, why would he be afraid? Well, the potential's there for him to bear the same scorn that Mary would when he takes an impure wife. He might face the condemnation that he's the one that violated her before the marriage. And that's going to have a negative impact on his perception from the community, which is going to affect his business, which is going to affect his livelihood. Now, two lives are at stake. So if that's not disappointing enough, let's be real for a minute. And I'm going to walk a fine line, so forgive me in advance. But Joseph was going to watch his bride's belly grow, knowing he had nothing to do with it. We don't know when the original wedding was planned, but we do know that he's delayed privilege for at least 9 months. There's disappointment there. So for Joseph to take the angel at his word, to do everything the angel commanded, not only did it take a lot of faith, not only did he have to choose to trust God, Joseph had to put aside selfishness. His obedience was staked in the fact that he chose to care and have more concern for others than himself. Knowing the child that Mary was carrying would save people from their sins, that meant he was willing to sacrifice his own expectations for the good of mankind. No pressure. Mary and Joseph had to carry a really big picture mentality to be able to accept and live within this new path that God's laying out before them. They had to understand that their present disappointment was going to pale in comparison to the good that God was working toward through that same disappointment. For them, that temporary discomfort was going to have, they had to recognize and trust it would be outweighed by eternal salvation. So right now, I'm hoping you're processing this for yourself. Because there's an example they're setting for all of us in the disappointment of 2020. There's been a few disappointments, eh? Look at the definition for disappoint. To fail to fulfill the expectations or wishes. Check. Number second definition. To defeat the fulfillment of hopes, plans. To thwart, to frustrate. Yeah, we're frustrated. Check. Three. A sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes and expectations. We're looking for hope. Said that. That doesn't ring true enough. Let me give you some synonyms for the word disappointed and see how many you relate to this year, even this holiday season. Saddened, upset, let down, disheartened, downhearted, downcast, depressed, dispirited, discouraged, despondent, dismayed, crestfallen, distressed, chagrined, disenchanted, disillusioned, displeased, discontented, dissatisfied, frustrated, disgruntled. Frustrated, disgruntled, just reading that list. It hurts. And let's be honest. What are we looking at? 24 days-ish to go? 2021's probably going to start with some disappointment too. So, question. How are you viewing these disappointments? How are you handling the disappointments in your life? Because it's super easy for us to look at that and say, oh, it's negative. I mean, by definition, if we look at the definition, fail, rush, had it, I promise I. So the definition, we'll go back, there we go. Sadness, displeasure, frustration, defeat. That's a negative. Those are negative words. It's easy for us to dwell on that. But one of the takeaways from the story of his birth is now, earthly disappointments can be heaven's opportunity for victory. Now just let that hang for a minute. Because it sounds really good, but think about what that means for you. Because if we can grasp this, that the disappointments we feel here is God working for victory, I think it's going to help us reflect on this process this last year. I think it's going to help us move into the new year with some hope. Because we can choose to look for where God might be laying groundwork for victory. I'm not saying it's easy. This was not easy for Mary and Joseph, but they found the strength. They found the faith. They trusted God in the disappointment of the change of their plans. They believed his promises to them. They believed the angel's words enough to find the fortitude to move forward, change in their plans. So it's a challenge for each of us this morning. Find faith like Mary and Joseph in the midst of our own disappointment. That means in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of election results, in the midst of cancer, in the midst of struggling relationships, where is your head and heart? I go back to that last series. Is our attention focused on God? Are we trusting Him and His plans as we work through our disappointments? Or instead, are we choosing to lean on temporary comforts and supports of this world? Paul wrote in his letter to the Colossian church, he says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. See, at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on the earthly things. This series kind of tie in nicely. During this year's First Impression Conference, which I attended virtually, thank you, 2020. Mark Batterson, pastor of National Church in D.C., speaking, he was asked for his perspective for the American church with all that's going on in 2020. He said this. He said, I think that God is shaking our false sense of security and our false sense of identity. I think God is shaking our false narratives and our false assumptions. And I think God is shaking our false idols and our false ideologies. Mark says, I think this is a moment where we need to deconstruct and reconstruct some of our own theology, make sure that we're on point. I have a lot packed into that statement. We can let that hang for a minute. The idea that God is going to allow some pretty challenging things to occur, purposefully allowing us to be shaken, that's an uncomfortable thought. The idea that one of the world's leading pastors believes the American church is leaning on this grocery list of falsehoods, personally, I find that frightening and convicting. But this is what I was most intrigued by, and I actually went back and because we're virtual, rewind, listen again. When Mark Batterson made the statement, he was smiling. His voice was full of enthusiasm. He didn't seem worried. He wasn't panicked by all the shaking that he was talking about. He wasn't shaken by what God was doing. He almost got this impression that Mark Batterson believed that it was for the best. Almost like a sense of relief. He got the feeling he was saying, finally, I think God might have just gotten our attention. So, God got your attention? Hope so. Because as much as things have not gone according to our plans this year, the faith that we claim, the faith that we choose to walk in, it calls us to trust God to have a good plan. So even though things might not be what we wanted, might not have met our expectations for this year, we can still trust Him to bring hope and healing from it. God's got our best interest in mind, that's true. But what is best is going to require a big picture, long game perspective. Because many times what is best for us might feel very uncomfortable in the moment as that false is shaken away to reveal what is true and lasting. I remember the verses Jesus told us. It tells us in Matthew that everything in life that we build on the falsehoods of this world is going to fall away and fail when the storms of life hit. But when our actions, when our faith is built upon His truth, we're going to still be standing after the storm. I get reminded of the Apostle Paul's words when he wrote to the church in Rome. He said, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God, those are called according to His purpose for them." But good is not always going to mean comfortable. We might be disappointed by God not following our plans. I mean, how dare He not follow my plan? But His way really is for the best once fully revealed. And when we can believe that, when we can accept that and live in that, it allows our hearts to be filled with peace. It allows us to praise Him in the storm. It allows us to have a heart of worship, even in the midst of the disappointment. Mary, Joseph, I believe they understood it because their world was shaken by the angel's announcement. Yes, God is going to save the world, but to do so, He started by wrecking theirs. Let's not forget God's plan of salvation required 33 years of waiting and a crucifixion. That's a tough pill to swallow. They had to be patient, patiently waiting for what they know was coming, trusting God through the disappointment to get there. Kind of what we're called to do today. So as we start to kind of work towards wrapping this up, I want to give you encouragement. Sounds heavy, but really some of you are already doing this. You're in the habit, you're looking for ways that God's bringing good from your disappointments. Trusting Him through the unknowns and the unexpected that has been 2020. How do I know this? I asked our life group leaders to pose a question to their groups. Some of you answered this. What is an unexpected win? What's something good that's come from this season of life being turned upside down that you simply weren't expecting? I got so many, I kind of combined some of them, worked this through, but just hear this. People that would not normally embrace technology have been really good at finding ways to use it to communicate. There's been more face-to-face with my family far away. My family's closer because we've been able to spend more time together. I had surgery, I could recover at home rather than being rushed back into the workplace. There were home projects that were once only a dream that are now reality. I've got less stress at work with a new approach to business. From the young folks, I was able to spend more time studying. My grades went up. Had more conversations with my son overseas in the military. Spent more time out of an office and more time able to appreciate God's creation. I think several in this room can relate. Not had to do that Northern Virginia to D.C. commute since March. More sleep, more time with family, more hours able to actually work rather than sitting in traffic. Better quality of life. Some of you found time to re-engage in a healthy exercise routine. Quiet time with God's been better in the morning with more time. And here's one that I cling to that has hit for me personally. People that were not connected to a church began seeking out answers to spiritual questions, what was going on around them. The isolation we were forced into drew people to God, the only one that was above quarantine restrictions. It stirred anxieties within several of our ones for this year, pushing them to their breaking point where they finally found healing and comfort, the one true God. And when we were forced to not meet in person, when we were forced to go online only for a season, it opened the door for off-site messages. Many of you might remember this back in April. If you're not, you saw it online at some point. That was a lot of fun when we did that teaching with NASCAR racing experience. That came out of being forced online, not able to meet. That's where the idea started. But the amazing thing is that God didn't stop there. I'm going to give you a story. I've had the privilege of being asked by NASCAR Racing Experience to join them at several events, multiple tracks across the country. The owner of this company has encouraged me to share the gospel any opportunity I get while there and take the time to listen whenever anyone needs to talk. Let me introduce you to some of my new friends. Carlene. Carlene did not grow up in church except for on the holidays. She and I actually started working together back in early August. Since then, it's been a fun story of how it progressed, but she has come to learn, accept the truth that God is good, and you know what? God really does love me. She told me, I've made a mess out of my life. I really do need this guy named Jesus. All in. Every time I'm there, she's got a new question about this Genesis Bible study she's working through. It's been really fun walking through that with her. There's Cameron. You might see some familiar faces here. We did an outreach in Richmond. That was really fun when somebody says, who are those people? They're the nicest people I've ever met. Somebody else says they're Christians. Another door of ministry. Anyway, Cameron. Cameron and I were in the ride-along program together last month. I'd shared my testimony with him and a few others back in October. He told me a couple weeks ago that really made him start thinking. And he realized he was tired of, his words, I'm tired of chasing the empty. So he gave up his habit of alcohol every single night since turning 21. He bought a Bible. Not a big deal, except for he's never owned one in his entire life. Got no church experience ever growing up, but he started going. Because, and again, his words, it just feels right, and it's not empty. He works two jobs. His other job, he's got a coworker that's a Christian. She's walking with him through the book of John. Jessica, pop up here. Jessica said the pandemic brought her to her knees. Could not handle the isolation, and it drew her back to a God that she's been running from since she turned 18. Found an online church, really connects. Church was very uncomfortable for her growing up, but this one found genuine teaching. She's drawn to it. She's chasing back after God. So I asked her, great, where's your community? Where's your fellowship with other believers? She paused for a moment and said, well, I guess it's here at the track when you show up. You know what? That community is growing each week. And then Brian's going through a really hard time right now. If you guys would just think about Brian in prayer, that would probably be a good thing. But we talk at the track, long and deep conversations. He calls me from Charlotte when he's at a breaking point. Really wants a biblical perspective on what's going on in his life right now. I can keep going and going. There's other crew members. I can talk to you about the customers that I've prayed with as they're doing their bucket list with their terminal cancer diagnosis. I can keep going and going, but here's what I want you to understand. These stories were born out of the disappointment of not being able to have church in person for a season. So now we've got several young people in their 20s pursuing Christ. At least two that I know of, they've turned it all over to Him. And that's just my experience in this one little small area of life. crazy thing is, I was found out this week it's going to continue next year. They want me to come back and do it again officially. So how much more is God doing that we aren't even aware of because we're too busy being disappointed to look for, find, and testify to where God's working? I was talking about this. Jerry Ennis is going to close this message in orange next service. I was talking, he had this line, said, I'm stealing it. I'll tell you up front, we'll steal it. He said, I think everybody listening needs to realize that we're not defined by our disappointments. We're defined by who we turn to in those disappointments. That's deep. Right. Challenge for us is to choose to have faith like Mary and Joseph did. When you realize your world has been shaken, turned upside down, and hardly anything is going as you would have expected, can we trust God enough to say, just like Mary did, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So my challenge to you as you walk out today, find the good that God is bringing through your perceived disappointments. Because many times what feels like it's going wrong in the moment might actually turn into a blessing when it fully plays out. Give God praise. Trust the work that He's doing in your lives. Because this Christmas, I don't want us to be disappointed. I want us to be faithful as we expect the goodness of God to show up. Find where God's at work. Join Him there. Point Him in the work He's doing. That might mean befriending those that are isolated. That might mean speaking a word of hope into someone else who's disappointed. It might mean taking the extra time and using it to invest in the hurting relationships around you. Don't dwell on the disappointed, but live that abundant life. Go back to that teaching from back the very first thing started all. Live the abundant life. I trust God for the victories that He's bringing for eternity and that you've got the privilege to be a part of it. Right. God, I want to speak the honest words to you that are hard to even say, but I want to say thank you for the disappointment. Because disappointment, if that means that our hopes aren't being met, God, I thank you that you've got a better one playing out. God, thank you for the good and perfect plans that are there. And so, Lord, I just ask, on behalf of everybody in this room, Lord, give us the patience, the faith we need. Give it the time to play out. God, shutdowns, lockdowns, quarantines are not going to define 2020. I believe with all my heart that we're going to look back years from now and say 2020 was when Aunt Jane came to bed. 2020 was when my brother started asking the questions of you. 2020 is when our family healed. God, thank you that we can trust and know that the pain is the start of the healing. Lord, I just pray, help us to have this perspective and live it like it's true to those around us. God, my prayer is that we can walk with heads held high and the people around us can look and say, who are those people? Christians. Because we know that the God of love is in our corner. Thank you, God, for fighting for us. Thank you, God, for your Son. Thank you, God, we have this season to celebrate His arrival. Conventional arrival of a man, but unconventional arrival of a God. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus' birth, that we can celebrate it in this country. God, may we live the joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
wasn't fixed on you. Not what I face, not what may stand before me. I know you'll lead me through the desert place, the storms that rage around me. Savior, Redeemer, Defender, and Healer, every single step of the way.
That we praise you despite all that's going on around us, Lord. As we leave this day, let's just hold on to that truth. Let's praise your name despite what's going on with us. Amen. Have a good week. Leave with this song on your lips.
I will bless your name. The same old lies. If you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life.